I'm Jen White. This is 1A. This month on the Hit List, we're unwrapping the year's best pop culture. Now, last week, we discussed the year in gaming, but today, it's all about music. Musicians social distanced along with the rest of us, and for some of them, the isolation led to an explosion of creativity. Here to help us round up the best of the best is Kiana Fitzgerald. She's a freelance music journalist, cultural critic, and DJ. Kiana, it's great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us, Matt Schoenfeld. He's the co-founder of Not 97, a music discovery platform. Matthew, welcome to 1A.
How's it going? I'm honored to be here.
And finally, Jason Lipschitz. He's the senior director of music at Billboard. Jason, great to have you back.
Thanks so much for having me, Jen.
Now, most of what we're going to be talking about today comes from our panel, but we also want to hear your recommendations. If you're listening and feel like we left anything out, you can comment on our Facebook page, tweet us at 1A, or send us an email at 1A@WAMU.org. Okay, I want to start by getting all of your top three favorite songs. And Jason, I'll start with you.
Yeah, so one of my favorite songs this year was Taylor Swift's Invisible String off her Folklore album. Taylor Swift obviously had a hugely successful year with a surprise sort of indie folk approach. She put out two albums, one of which had the biggest album debut of the year. She had two number one singles, and she could win a third Album of the Year Grammy. I've always been a really big fan of Taylor's songwriting, and you know, working with the Nationals, Aaron Dessner on these albums. You have a song like Invisible String, which is on the first album, Folklore, that kind of coalesced into something really beautiful and towering and personally revealing. I think that a song like this finds Taylor Swift firing on all cylinders in terms of her pop appeal, as well as the type of intimate writing that fans have come to love from her. It's a really careful.
Let's hear a little bit of it. This is Invisible String by Taylor Swift.
Was the color of the grass where I used to read at Centennial Park. I used to think I would meet somebody there. Teal was the color of your shirt when you were 16 at the yogurt shop. You used to work at to make a little money.
Okay, that's Invisible String by Taylor Swift from her Folklore album. Jason, your other two picks quickly?
Yeah, so I want to shout out Pop Smoke, the deceased rapper who put out my favorite project this year. Shake the Room is on Meet the Woo 2, a mixtape that was released 12 days before his untimely death at the age of 20. Just a really kinetic hip-hop release that I've listened to nonstop this year. And then another number one single on our Hot 100, Rain on Me by Lady Gaga and Ariana Grande. A really cathartic pop song that helped Lady Gaga return to the top of the charts and return to the electropop sound after being away from it for a half decade, and just a great single.
Kiana, what about for you, your top three?
Absolutely. So my first pick that I'll talk about is a song that was absolutely everywhere this year. I'm talking about WAP by Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion. I can't talk about exactly what that stands for, but this song had everybody in an uproar, either for good reasons or bad reasons. And it was just a really powerful discussion starter.
Well, let's hear a bit of it. We've got it right here. This is WAP, the clean version.
Yeah, you telling with some wet, bring up in a mop for this wet, give me everything you got for this wet. When I from the top, make it drop, that's some wet, that's some wet. When I get a bucket and a mop, that's some wet. I'm talking wop, that's some wet, that's some wet. Macaroni in a pot, that's some wet, huh.
Okay, so this is your first choice out of the gate. Was it just about the conversation that it started, or was there more to it?
It's a phenomenal song. The sample that they use is just out of this world. And, you know, I just think about the situations in which I've heard it with mostly my sister. You know, we've been quarantined. We're about the same age. We're 31 and 32, and we're grown women, and we really enjoy this song.
Your other two picks?
My other two picks are Moneybagg Yo Says Something. And that song is kind of like a fly take on a meme that was circulating this year. And the other pick is Don Toliver Cardigan. He's a protege of Travis Scott, and he really stepped into his own this year.
All right. Jason, what about for you? Jason, you still with us?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I think, in terms of my take on those songs.
Your top three picks for the year.
Oh, I already gave mine Taylor Swift.
Oh, I'm sorry. Matt, coming to you.
I'm here, yeah. So yeah, for my top picks of the year, I think it's funny because my What Not 97 is, it's all music discovery. So my picks may be artists that you may not have heard of, and that may not be kind of blowing up on the radio. But my top pick of the year was a song called Better Safe Than Social by an artist that's out of LA called The Last Artful Dodger. And that pick for me was just, that song came out, I spoke to her about it. She told me she wrote the song in March 2018. They did a new mix in January of it without any intention of releasing it. And then when COVID hit, she felt like she had to kind of release the song. It's called Better Safe Than Social. That's kind of what her brand has been for the last few years.
Well, we've got it right here. Let's play a bit of it. This is Better Safe Than Social. All right, that's Better Safe Than Social by The Last Artful Dodger. And tell us a little bit more about this artist, Matt.
Yeah, so she's dropped a few projects independently over the last few years and just signed a major deal with Interscope and is working on her debut record. So this was really just a Lucy that came out this year. But I found myself running it back over and over with that first line, I feel safe on my own, in this place on my own. It's like we all can kind of relate to that this year. And then by the end of the song, it gets really uplifting and really just kind of like energizing. And to me, that song kind of just encapsulated how I felt going through the past year.
Matt, tell us a little bit more about your platform, Not 97.
Yeah, so Not 97 is kind of a music discovery platform across different mediums. Our driving piece of content is our podcast, which we've been doing for 7 seasons. And that is like a music discovery roundtable where 3 hosts and 1 guest introduce 2 songs from artists with under 10,000 followers across their social platforms. So it's really a platform to uplift up-and-coming undiscovered artists and just put their music out there, share it with our friends and our community, and try to be first on some of these artists. It's a lot about trying to discover the next best artist before they get signed, before they blow. And that's kind of why Dodger was my top pick of the year, because she's someone that I really think is next up.
Well, who are the other two artists on your list?
Yeah, so the other two are also artists that we've played on Not 97 in the past. Kenny Mason is one of them, a rapper out of Atlanta. He dropped an excellent record this year called Angelic Hoodrat. He had a song on there called Chevron that was definitely my favorite. And then the third pick was a song called Count On You by an artist named Love Man Swee, who he dropped a project last year called Of Age, which was kind of his debut project. And then this year, Lil Wayne actually hopped on the remix of that track and it kind of just blew up. And so I've been listening to that a lot this year. Love is one of the artists too that I've kind of had my ear on, and I'm really excited to see what's next.
You know, when we look at live performances, I mean, music festivals, arena shows, clubs, most live music venues went dark this year, and we've had to experience music from home really since mid-March. Jason, how do you think the pandemic has changed our relationship with music?
You know, it's interesting talking to artists and talking to label representatives and managers. It's been an interesting year of refocusing what we want from music, and we've seen not only new artists thrive in a very unprecedented environment, we also have old standbys from Taylor Swift to Ariana Grande to Lady Gaga be able to present whole album cycles while stuck at home. And obviously touring's a huge factor that they didn't count on dropping away from these album promotions. But I think that they were able to kind of connect with fans through social media, through viral videos and just through presentations, whether it's at home or remotely, and just try to make the best of a bad situation. I also think we're just anecdotally, I think we've seen that over the past month with Christmas music, which has been exploding on our charts more than ever before. People want comfort. People want to feel like they have some sort of warm blanket of music around them during a really difficult time.
We're talking to freelance music journalist Kiana Fitzgerald, Matt Schoenfeld, co-founder of Not 97, and Jason Lipschitz, senior director of music at Billboard. Kiana, how do you think this time of, you know, spending more time at home, not being able to be out on the tour circuit, influenced the actual music that artists created this year?
Sure. I think in some situations, artists have definitely honed in on what they want their core messaging to be for their songs, for their albums, for who they are artistically. So I feel like just from a personal standpoint, I've connected much more closely to songs than I have in the past. And I think it is because artists have that moment that they sit in now that they have to be in the house, or some of them are, not everybody, but you know, most of the artists that I listen to are quarantining just like me. And that means that they are talking to themselves like I'm talking to myself. They're spending time with their loved ones like I am. And that might be bringing about more personalized, songs, more personalized albums. And it's been a journey for sure. And I think that this year will definitely inform how artists will move next year and the year after and the year after.
Matt, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting. When I was looking at my favorite records of the year, I was looking actually through my vinyl collection because I feel like I've bought a lot more vinyls this year. And I think that speaks to the lack of shows during the pandemic and wanting to support more artists, and then seeing things like Bandcamp Fridays come up this year where artists were able to get direct support from their fans for buying their music. And so I think when I look back at the year in music and how the pandemic has affected artists, I think that's kind of a big thing to be able to tap into direct support from their fans. And for me, when I looked at my best albums of the year, I have three of them on vinyl. And I don't think if it was a normal year that I necessarily would have felt compelled to buy those on Bandcamp.
I'm curious whether you all think a specific genre has dominated music this year. Kiana, your thoughts?
I'm biased, but I also understand how things are operating these days, especially because I'll just go ahead and say it, hip hop. I feel like it was absolutely everywhere. It was all over the charts. And I feel like we heard from a lot of new voices, a lot of new women, especially this year. And I feel like 2020 was the year of the woman rapper, especially up and coming people, especially people from, you know, regions where we wouldn't necessarily be hearing from them. Like from the South, we have Flo Milli from Alabama. We have also Chica from Alabama. Like I wouldn't have thought that, you know, two Alabamian rappers in one year would have blown up like they have. So this has been a really phenomenal year for hip hop in my eyes.
Jason, what about you?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And to kind of expand that a little bit, I do think that what we've seen in 2020, especially coinciding with the protests and the Black Lives Matter movement, are the exaltation of Black voices in music, both in songs and albums, as well as voices. I think that what we saw in June and July was this explosion of protest music where artists, especially in the streaming age, they can be so furious about something going on in the world, they can drop a song and have it up on Spotify in a week or two. And a lot of those songs, including Lil Baby's The Bigger Picture and the DaBaby Rockstar remix, Black Lives Matter remix, were topping the charts. I think that this was really important, and I totally agree that hip-hop as a genre led the way.
Matt, what about for you? Do you think hip-hop was the dominating genre this season?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I think just in general, hip-hop has really dominated American popular culture for the last few years, and I don't see that stopping anytime soon. And I would definitely agree with Kiana that female hip-hop artists are leading the way really kind of steering the culture forward. And I think that it's cool from my perspective as someone interested in up-and-coming artists and who's kind of next up to see that and see how that has empowered up and coming musicians, and Flo Milli is a great example. That's someone that none of us knew a year ago, and now, you know, is somewhat of a household name in music industry circles. And so, yeah, to me, that's like a really exciting development over the last year, and I'm excited to see it.
Well, Jason,
move forward.
You know, Jason, a lot of the top songs this year are by women artists. Why do you think women held so many spots at the top of the charts this year across genres?
You know, I do think a large part of that does have to do with the proliferation of women in hip hop. And Kiana made a really great point. Just the number of women in hip hop breaking through. Obviously, we've had superstars like Nicki Minaj and Cardi B in past years, but to see artists like Megan Thee Stallion just level up into from going into top 40 hits into number one smashes with Savage, with Beyonce, with WAP, with Cardi. I mean, that was a huge part of it. But I also think just seeing some of these collaborations across pop, from Rain On Me to Stuck With You with Ariana and Bieber, you had these superstars kind of joining forces and pulling the powers of their fan bases together for number one singles. That also goes to DaBaby and Roddy Ricch with Rockstar. It was definitely a fertile year when it came to artists being stuck at home saying, hey, do you want to work together on a song, and scoring number one singles because of it.
Well, it's our pop culture roundup, and we're discussing the year's best songs with freelance music journalist Kiana Fitzgerald, Matt Schoenfeld, of the co-founder of Not 97, and Jason Lipschitz, senior director of music at Billboard. And we're here from you. We got a lot of messages like this one from Jeff in Philadelphia.
I would have to say Fiona Apple's Fetch the Bolt Cutters is one of the best things I've ever heard in many years.
We hear you loud and clear, Jeff. And what we're hearing now is I Want You to Love Me by Fiona Apple. More of you are chiming in. Linda emailed, as much as I miss concerts, I have been enjoying virtual shows. I love seeing musicians at home stripped down to the music without all the distractions of a huge, expensive production. I've been watching Brandi Carlile's home concerts and love getting to know the band and becoming energized by their love for their music. But we'll hear more from you and from our guests in just a moment. This is 1A. Let's get back to the hit list, our pop culture roundup. We're discussing some of 2020's best songs with freelance music journalist Kiana Fitzgerald. Also with us, Matt Schoenfeld, of the co-founder of Not 97, and Jason Lipschitz, senior director of music at Billboard. We're also hearing from you. Nicholas emailed, have to mention Run the Jewels. RTJ4 will likely go down as the most historically important album of 2020. Songs like Just and Walking in the Snow will forever be poignant vignettes into this tumultuous year. David wrote on Facebook, I'm not huge on mainstream music, but By and by Camp struck a chord with me. And Chandra wrote on Facebook, I'm enjoying some of Taylor Swift's new albums that she dropped this year. And we should mention there, Jason, that Taylor Swift had more than one album this year, right?
Yeah, she just put out a surprise album, actually her second surprise album of the year, Evermore. It's the first time she's really put out two albums contained to one era of her artistry. And she basically explained when announcing the second album that she just wasn't done exploring this sound. And now she has not only another number one album, but the lead single from that album, Willow, is number one on our Hot 100 this week.
Well, I think a lot of us turned to music for comfort this year. Anna in Indianapolis shared what music helped her.
The album that I wanted to mention that really made a difference in my life this year was Lady Gaga's new album, Chromatica. There's so many songs that are just so uplifting and really gave me the hope that I needed in a time that felt pretty hopeless.
Kiana, were there any songs or albums this year like that for you?
Absolutely. I would say Salt. S-A-U-L-T, they have an album called Untitled Black Is. It came out on Juneteenth this year when things were kind of at their height of tumultuousness, of just all the uncomfortable feelings that were coming to a head. So that album was very powerful for me as a Black woman from the South who has endured racism from every corner, from every crevice of this country. It was really, really invigorating for me to hear direct messaging from other Black people who were telling me, hey, you know, keep your head up. We're going to rise. Everything's going to be okay.
Jason, what about for you?
Yeah, I totally agree. I think, first of all, that Salt album, actually both of them that came out this year are really great. And yeah, I think that in terms of the music that's comforted me, it's been a really strong year for pop. Between Taylor Swift, Lady Gaga, Dua Lipa, 5 Seconds of Summer, Halsey, Selena Gomez. And, you know, it's funny because none of these albums have been able to be presented in arenas or stadiums as previously hoped, but they've been really comforting in the sense of just, you know, providing a sense of normalcy as I'm listening on a dog walk or driving in the car. And playing top 40 music, it's been a really strong year in that regard.
Well, John E. Meld, 2020 has been a banner year for dance music with phenomenal albums like Lady Gaga's Chromatica, Dua Lipa's Future Nostalgia, Jessie Ware's What's Your Pleasure, and my personal fave, Kylie Minogue's Disco. So shout out there from John. Thanks for sharing that. I want to turn to another song you picked, Kiana. This is Said Some by Moneybagg Yo.
Tell me all I see.
Huh?
What?
I thought a bro saying something. Toxic, but they still ain't saying nothing. We gon' trap this down till the feds come.
Run it up.
Huh?
What she say?
I thought a said something. How I go when I'm talking, you listen.
Jealous.
Cut her off cause she spoke on the business.
Go.
Kiana, this is a song that came out earlier this year, but it stayed on your fave list. Why is that?
Absolutely. I would say, I'll say this. There was a remix that came out later in the year. It featured City Girls and a couple other people, and it just didn't hit the same as the original for me. The full song and its initial, you know, completion, I thought was perfect. I think Moneybagg does a great job in being taunting, yet very confident in himself and feeling as though he doesn't really have to adhere to anybody's standards. He can do whatever he wants. It's kind of like top tier hip hop. When you think about what hip hop is at its core, it's, you know, part flexing on your enemies. It's part being, you know, just very, very confident, as I said before, in yourself, and then also delivering a new kind of message to the audience that you're interested in. Mm-hmm. So I think that song was flawless as it was, and that's why it stayed at the top of my list.
Matt, you mentioned looking for artists who are, you know, up and coming. How much of a role does social media play in up and coming artists getting attention?
I mean, it definitely plays a role in getting attention, but I don't. When I'm looking for an artist, if I go to their social media, it's not, for me, it's not really about how many followers they have. It's more about how they're using their platform. And if I can tell what the artist's brand and image is from their social media, from their Instagram page, and it's intriguing to me, then I'm more interested and I'm going to check for them, follow them and all that stuff. So it's not really about checking like, okay, how many followers do they have and trying to figure out what the metrics there are. It's more about how are you using that platform to represent who you are and attract listeners and eyes like my own.
Well, we got this email from Will who says 2020 is the year that K-pop started its conquest of America. And Jason, K-pop and Latin music broke through to American markets in a pretty big way this year. What were some of the biggest moments from the international music scene this year?
Yeah, I totally agree. It's been interesting watching both K-pop and Latin pop increasingly influence U.S. pop over the past few years. 2020 was certainly a year where it reached a new culmination in both regards. You had an artist like BTS, who's been a really huge deal globally for a couple of years now, but having multiple number one albums, topping the Hot 100 with Dynamite, which was one of the biggest songs of the year, the first K-pop song in the modern era to hit number one on the Hot 100. And then in terms of popular Latin music, you have an artist like Bad Bunny, who just a few weeks ago sent the first all Spanish language album to number one on the Billboard 200 albums chart for the first time in the chart's history. I mean, these were already pretty big stars before this year, but what they're accomplishing commercially is truly unprecedented. And I think they are just, they've just established themselves along with several other K-pop and Latin pop artists as just A-list stars at this point and are going to be around for years to come.
Well, the music industry has relied on the internet in many ways this year because of the pandemic. And as concerts and tours are being canceled, artists turn to virtual performances. And here at 1A, we've had the opportunity to have some artists perform live on air. So let's hear some of those moments.
Controversial, so outspoken. I've been told I'm not ladylike. But I'm a lady like, whoa, I could bring you to your knees.
With all my favorite colors right on. All my favorite colors, yes, ma'am. Yeah. Won't you come and save me? And all across, from all around, the people make a people sound. They dance.
Those are some of the performances we've had on 1A this year. That's Ingrid Andress, Eric Burton of the Black Pumas, and Jacob Collier, all of them up for Grammys this year. If you missed those conversations, you can find them at the1a.org. We're rounding up the year's best music with freelance music journalist Kiana Fitzgerald, Matt Schoenfeld, the co-founder of Not 97, and Jason Lipschitz, senior director of music at Billboard. I'm curious to hear from each of you how you think this year has reshaped the music industry altogether. Jason?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Obviously, the live industry is going to try to figure out next steps. Obviously, we'd love to see all of our favorite artists back in concert as quickly and safely as possible. But we've certainly seen now a full 9 months without tours, without festivals, and wondering where do we go next. And I think that also leads to the question of industry revenue. And artists I know are really struggling to make ends meet because not only are they losing out on the revenue that they make from touring, but also merchandise sales are down because they don't have tours to promote them. So I think as streaming continues to boom, we need to figure out a better system for helping artists. And I think that this is really underlined that need, especially with touring just evaporating this year.
Matt, what's your perspective?
I agree with Jason. I think from an independent artist standpoint, looking at how your fan base and your community can support you, or as fans of independent artists, how can we support those artists directly is a really important question that we're asking ourselves this year. I think that there's also with live streaming being and kind of live shows being digital and virtual, I think that's a big way for artists to then connect directly with their fans. And I think that that's kind of like in the year that we're in right now, where we're quarantined, stuck at home, and we're all trying to figure out better ways to connect with our friends and family. I think the same goes for artists, figuring out dynamic, innovative ways to connect with their fan base, whether it's on Twitch, whether it's on Discord, whether it's just through social media. And I feel like as fans, we have almost closer connections with some of those artists because we're seeing them deal with the same things that we're dealing with. And at the end of this year, it was cool being able to listen to music that may have been inspired by either the protests or the first few months of quarantine, and now being able to hear that music and be like, wow, that, I felt the same thing that this artist was going through, and now I can find comfort in their artistic output.
Well, Jason tweets, the YouTube channel My Analog Journal has all these intimate, funky DJ sets. I can't stop watching these. Kiana, do you think there are any artists in particular who you think have taken advantage of this moment and, you know, created these opportunities to build connection with their fans by just, you know, building at-home performances? I'm thinking specifically of groups like Chloe and Halle, the sister duo, where you go on YouTube and they have these incredible performances that they were just churning out. It felt like all the time.
Yeah, and I would say for Chloe and Hallie in particular, like, they kind of lucked up because they've been doing this for a long time. They love doing covers. They love reinterpreting their own music in a very, you know, pared down way. So they are just naturals at this. But I feel like to go back to the DJ aspect, there's this collective called the Chop Stars from Houston, Texas. And this one DJ in particular, Slim K, he'll hop on YouTube every Saturday and he'll just go off. And he's somebody that I've really enjoyed watching. And I'll also say that Versus, the Instagram Lovefest/Battleground of artists kind of coming together and playing their biggest hits and their most slept on underground songs that people might have a personal connection to. That series started by Timbaland and Swiss Beatz, I think changed things for a lot of artists and a lot of people this year. Some artists that needed eyes on them that they haven't had in probably a decade, like E-40 and Too Short, for example, they just had a Versus this past weekend. You know, they were really able to get their flowers. So I think that was an element of this year that really took a lot of people by surprise in a good way.
Well, Peggy tweeted, Max Stern's new record, Impossible Sum, which came out in September, made the Billboard list, too. It's fantastic. Terrence tweets, the best album of the year for me was Transmissions by Beverly Glenn Copeland. Every song hit hard and to the heart. And Beth emailed, I am a 63-year-old woman who has fallen in love with the Finnish heavy metal orchestra Nightwish and its incomparable vocalist Floor Jansons. Would love to see them live when COVID is over. I'm curious about what music you're all looking forward to in the coming year. Matt, I'll come to you first.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a somewhat of a hard question to answer because I don't really know what's coming next year. When I was writing an answer for this question, I put Kendrick Lamar question mark just because I'm like, I would love to have a Kendrick record next year. Definitely the two artists that I've talked about right with the Last Artful Dodger and Love Man Sweet, they have records that'll probably come out next year. I think Bad Bad Not Good, the jazz group from Toronto, one of my favorite bands, I believe they have a record coming next year that I can't wait for as well.
Okay. I want to make sure I get in here with Jason and Kiana. Jason, quickly, who are you keeping an eye on for 2021?
One of my favorite pop artists, Lorde, is expected to come back next year. I'm very excited about that. And in terms of a smaller emerging artist, the singer-songwriter Julian Baker has an album coming out in February that I've heard and is really, really breathtaking. And Claro, who put out one of my favorite 2019 albums, Immunity, hopefully will be back with a sophomore album in 2021.
All right, Kiana, you get the last word here.
Awesome. I'll take it. So I would say from an underground standpoint, I have a favorite rapper named Rob Banks. He's a South Florida MC. He's kind of a SoundCloud rap pioneer, if you're familiar with the term. And he's been teasing this album called Falconia for about 5 years now. And it's a three-part epic. And I'm just very excited for it. And of course, I'm excited for Cardi B. You know, she came back this year with her first big single. And I'm looking forward to the album.
That's Kiana Fitzgerald. She's a freelance music journalist, cultural critic, and DJ. Matt Schoenfeld is the founder of Not 97, a music discovery platform. The Not 97 podcast is on its seventh season and has discovered more than 500 emerging artists. And Jason Lipschitz, senior director of music at Billboard. Thanks to you all. And to see each of our guests' full lists for both best albums and best songs of the year, visit the1a.org. You'll also find a playlist we've created of our own favorite music from 2020, and we'll tweet out a link to that as well at 1A. Today's producer was Emmanuel Johnson. This program comes to you from WAMU, part of American University in Washington, distributed by NPR. I'm Jen White. Thanks for listening, and let's talk again tomorrow. This is 1A.